Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Rhoda Zianalale. Thank you for interrupting your evening to tune in to another Dr. A Live, sponsored by Tuesday Health Talk Radio and Healthy Smart Home. We are excited. We are in the nation's capital. We have been talking to business persons, attorneys and marketing people and a whole group, a think tank around our technology, how to position it for market, how it will best serve our nation, our country. And we're so excited at the feedback we are getting back. Pastor Hill, are you on the line tonight? Are you still in the studio with
me? Yes, I am.
You know, you just got to be a guest tonight because you're one of the most adventurous, creative, and enterprising men I know. And, you know, I wish we started earlier because I would like to be a farmer like you. And working back and forth and playing around with the technology. You're so investigative with how you use this solar nanotechnology as energy. And you've been playing around with your seeds out in the garden. And you were telling me about cantaloupe climbing the vine. See, we got to back this up, and you got to tell me this conversation again because I don't know anybody that harvests cantaloupe and certainly harvests cantaloupe and enhances the seed, you know, with frequency before you plant it. And I just want to know, where is it in the growth? You know, is it ahead of time? Is it behind time? Is it? Tell the story about the cantaloupe. Tell us the story about how you farm cantaloupe and how this solar technology is making it better or at least giving you something else to play with.
Well, I looked at we planted cantaloupes at in Bowman, South Carolina. This farmer, we got a big farm down there this year, and we got cantaloupes down there. In fact, we have cantaloupes, a whole row of cantaloupes, and they actually are blooming and running and got cantaloupes on there about big as a softball already.
Now, is that tell me, is that faster than it usually happens, or what's the timeline? Like, from the time you plant a cantaloupe, how long does it take to get a flower and then go into a little cantaloupe ball?
Well, I'm going to say about 3 to 6 weeks. But the problem we had this year was the rain. The time we got the cantaloupe, first we figured that we could get them in the ground. And we got the first set of cantaloupes in the ground. And he told me, said, hey, I had to go back and replant those cantaloupes. It got too cold. Right after Easter, it got chilly. So, you're right. So, we replanted, and now we're looking at the rain. We needed water now. Don't get me wrong. We needed the water. The crop was looking real bad. Hey, goodness, we had a monsoon. The water just kept coming down and down and down. So even though we had on our bed, some of the things still got stunted from so much water. But they are coming back now, and they're looking pretty good. We lost the peas, but we can still replant them. But the other field peas, they're looking good. We lost a lot of sweet corn. But then
now, how
did
you lose it? From the rain or the cold, or what happened that you lost?
No, from the rain. The rain. Just the rain. It was just too much
all
water.
All that flooding in the East Coast.
Right. Right. It was just too much rain, and then the sun came out and got hot, and they just wilted them up. So, but other than that, everything looked good. But the backyard, I'm taking the backyard with the nanotechnology, and I took a drum and took rainwater, and I placed the rainwater. I meant to do two things, use the rainwater, then use tap water. But I used the rainwater. And I'm nourishing them with the rainwater with the nano. And they are looking, I can see a difference in the one that's planted on the Bowman farm than the backyard.
What's the difference?
They look healthier. They're more greener. I guess you got to see them to really know what I'm talking about. But at this stage right now, they are already blooming and running.
Wow.
Right. And the red okra looked pretty rough because all the water that was in the backyard. But the okra down on Bowman Farm there are a lot of them. So we're going to have
a wow.
Yeah, but I want the red okra to come. I got three plants looking pretty good. So we're going to have some red okra one way or the other. But tomatoes.
I've never seen red okra.
Ah, I used to plant them years ago.
You might have to throw some in a box and overnight them to me so it stays fresh.
Yeah, I'll sure send you some red okra, but they're looking pretty good. And then I did another farm plant in Roseville, South Carolina. We got about an acre down there planted, but the deers came in there and just, they love them peas, so they clipped the peas.
What?
Yes, they did. They went every 2 or 3 feet and just had a field. They just eat. So,
wow.
I'm trying to get a field between the nano in the backyard and then versus the crops that we have planted out on other people's farm. I don't want to put the nano on nobody else's land right now, so I'm using it on the ones in my backyard. And I want to get down to Hampton, South Carolina, where I own some property, and use the nano down there and see what happens. But it's a slow process. But by next year this time, we're going to have it down pat with the nano on the farm and can really tell the difference. We're going to have 4 sites that we can, 2 of them with the nanotechnology and 2 of them without the nanotechnology. I'm trying to put the one in Hampton. I want to put at least 2 power sticks down on that property. And I think you say it is spanned at least about 50 feet out one way.
Yeah, it depends upon, you know, how much infrastructure or Wi-Fi you have in the house. If you have Wi-Fi in your house, Wi-Fi will throw it out 30 to 50 feet. You know, you have to measure it out. You can door test and just take somebody with a cell phone and walk it all the way out. When they lose their mitigation, they lose their balance. That's how far your range is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the gentleman that we had on the show about a couple of weeks ago from the islands, Mr. Sterling, he has a big orchard. And when we did his house, because of the electrical infrastructure around it, because down in the islands they have above ground electricity, and it his range was almost 3 blocks around his house.
Whoa.
And the way the electrical infrastructure was down there. So, and we had a relay so it would go in his whole orchard. He had mango trees that would never grow, and they started growing.
Right, you told me.
Paninas or pinnas or something like that. He said they were double in size, and he said he had the reddest cherry tomatoes that he had ever seen. And he said, ironically, when the hurricane came, it destroyed everything but the nano relay. The sticks and everything was blown down around them, but they were still standing.
Wow.
I thought that was amazing.
That is something.
Yes, amazing. That is amazing. So,
My tomato bushes, these are the best looking tomato bushes I ever had in my backyard.
How far are they from the house?
About 15 feet.
Oh, yeah, they're in range, so they're picking up that nano signal.
Yeah.
Especially, you got solely. Are they on the side of the house? Solely wrapped around the house. Solely.
Well,
the solar window? The window frequency?
Right. Then plus I got, now the one in the backyard near the faucet, his should intermingle with the one coming out the house. So.
Okay.
We just have to wait and see. I was thinking about putting one in the front yard, but no, I'll hold off. I still got the one on the aloe vera plant. So,
and
that
how's
aloe
that doing?
Oh, my goodness. It's looking puffy, like it's getting more nutrients in the leaves, and it's brighter green. But I was thinking about taking it out. It might be a little too strong sitting in the pot with it. So I was thinking about taking it out. I think about Friday I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to take that one and put it right in the center of the garden with the cantaloupes, the tomatoes, and the peas, and see if I can get a reaction for them and boost them up a little bit. But the strawberries looking good. Strawberries.
Wow, you got strawberries in the midst of all this?
Yeah.
I need to get my tent and come down there and put the tent out on this. And snap peas and wow, I didn't realize that you were such a crop farmer. So how many acres of strawberries you got?
I just got 4 plants in the backyard. That's what I'm testing out this year with. Yeah. I'm doing tests in the backyard. But I got the test on the bitter melon. I got 2 of them coming up. It's the first time I would plant this, so I'm looking at it and I'm saying, wow, this is amazing to see how this plant grows. You know, it's amazing.
So
I got one
of those. What does it look like? A watermelon, or what does a bitter melon look like?
A bitter melon look like a cucumber.
Really?
But the plant look. You got to see the plant. It got these nice little pretty leaves come out. Then it got vines that just run off from the plant. And as far as I can see right now, on those vines, you're going to have a bitter melon. But I can't I can't imagine yet with this plant being this small, creating a 6-foot. I saw the guy had some 6-foot long. And I just can't see that plant the way it's coming together now to do that. But hey, God is good. I mean, I'm looking at it every day and I'm saying, Lord, I see you in that plant. That plant gonna do some amazing thing. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm finished.
It's so amazing, Pastor Hill, to hear you talk about these plants. And I think about the whole concept that God made man the husbandman to cultivate the earth. And I think every child should have the experience of growing something, a plant, a flower, to cultivate the growth of something. I think that's such a powerful experience. And I really appreciate you sharing because there's so many young people now interested in farming again. And I know if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't want to be on a farm. I kind of envy Oprah Winfrey and her wealth and, you know, how she lived on that farm for like 15 years with animals all around her and somebody farming her farm and fresh garden, fresh fruit, you know. She grew her farm, everything right on her farm and had her own livestock out there in Indiana. And I think she sold that farm outside of Chicago to Faith Evans. I'm not for sure, but I think that's what I heard. But for so many years, she had that big farm, about 200 acres outside of Chicago. And just to hear you, and now that I've been down working with these farmers up in Canada and farmers down here in St. Croix and out of Minnesota and seeing the dynamics of how they nurture livestock and how they grow crops. I mean, the farmer that we had on the show about a year ago, it talked about how the system doubled the size of his soy plants, and he was so excited about it.
I know.
And then he talked about how fast they're growing, how big they're growing, how robust the color is. And I'm sure that probably relates to somewhere more flavor, at least that's what Mr. Sterling said. He said his fruits are just so juicy and flavorful with having that energy wave go across the orchid to stimulate their life. And I'm thinking about the future of how that translates and what can happen as a result of that.
I'm waiting too. I'm waiting on it because I can see the difference in the texture of the, based on what I'm seeing at the other farm in Roseville. Well, I haven't been back to Roseville in a couple of days, but I was down there yesterday getting some sweet corn, squash, and cucumber. And I'm looking at what's growing in the backyard, and I'm saying, wow, it is a difference. I can see a difference in the growth of the plant. Yes, and that. But I had squash, quail egg, bell pepper, and onions for supper last night. Stir fry. Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, that squash
was delicious. Out of your garden.
Out the garden. Yeah, I had the squash and the quail egg. That was fantastic. You know, I got some more squash out there from yesterday. I got some more cucumbers.
Oh, I might have to just pitch me a tent somewhere down there between you and Ida. Because I need to talk with her about these quail eggs. We got to get her on the show talking about these quail eggs because life in the new world of nanobiobalance technologies, what else can we do? When I told this focus group that we were looking at about you and the applications in farming, they were just totally blown away. They were like, wow. And it's so exciting to hear the results that you're having and what's happening with animals. A couple testimonies come in. One of the young ladies, one of the dogs that everybody was asking about, Miss Doce in Atlanta, was a little dog that got demineralized, one of those toy Yorkies. And her back hip was always coming out. And she has not had her hip, has not been out of place for over a year now. Around there, she's pain free, not on any medication.
Ooh.
And so that's a testimony from the dog, from the Yorkie named Doce, who made her debut with Miss Kim, one of the environmental physicists from Atlanta. And we had a big testimony from Dr. Reynolds. She's on world travel over in London. She's sending her testimony that the doctors have confirmed her eye has totally healed without surgery, and she can see her sight is 20/30. And her doctor says she's a miracle. And if you recall, she was on the show giving her testimony about how she was scheduled for radical surgery of her right eye.
Yeah.
And had us come over and check her house. The numbers were high. They were like 1,900. And we mitigated her house and brought the electrostatic down because, you know, the amazing thing is the technology was engineered as an electrical safety device. It was never engineered to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. But what's so amazing to me is when you make the indoor safer and you balance the indoor, you mitigate the indoor, then your body can heal itself.
Can heal itself.
So we're talking about people, you know, just for example, on the farm, what you did was restore the water to its rightful balance, took the electrostatic out of the water, soaked the seeds in it for a few minutes, and just jump-started the life of the seed. So when you put it in the soil, it was already moistened and ready to engage the soil to root itself and grow. And the presentation, the color, and the robustness, and the maturity, the rapid maturity, is just evidence of, more evidence of how we can help improve the quality of life and even the farming industry for crops. I'm so excited about that. The second testimony that came in, she sent a testimony in by email that God healed her eye, and she's totally healed. And then with the testimony we had last week, or maybe the week before, it's so amazing, with the nurse, Miss Marcia, who got her lab results back, and that everything is balanced, everything looks amazing, nothing in her blood looks like multiple sclerosis anymore. And she's off all her medication, 22 years of taking medication, or maybe it was 22 medications since 1979. And in the year 2016, she's not on any medication. So, you know, this is just tremendous to hear that testimony and to see all the people that are so useful. I got a chance to spend the afternoon, you know, having tea and trumpets with Dr. Reynolds. And I'm telling you, I was blown away. She's 75, almost 76 years young, and she looks so young and vibrant. I'm telling you, she does not look an hour over 45. Her skin, all her wrinkles disappeared. And she said, you know what, I was thinking about maybe doing like Joyce Myers and getting me a facelift or tightening stuff up. She said, but I can't even find my wrinkles anymore. I said, this is too incredible. So you're looking past the hill. You were looking great at the conference at North Carolina Central University.
Oh, thank you.
You were looking past the hill, looking all young.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I'm looking forward to come back to Durham. And so I told you I met the apostle down here. He came down for his daughter's graduation. And he's going
Dr.
to actually
Mays.
Know. Huh?
The Dr. Mays?
No, Apostle Mills from Durham, North Carolina. He's got a farmer in Africa. And he told me last night they're going back to Africa in November. So I'm trying to get him on the show. He couldn't make it tonight, but he might be on next week. He's going to clear his stage out.
I've had somebody contact me about the problem in Halifax County where they slaughtered the pigs, and that smell is in the acid. So much acid in the air is giving people diabetes down there. They want to know if the technology will work for those people. Yeah, it's the smell is so overwhelming. People just get sick and nauseated down there, and it's in litigation. And, you know, we built a system for the farmers in Quebec for the farm because it was the smell in that milking center. You can imagine 1,200 cows urinating and defecating. The smell of that ammonia was overwhelming. I was sitting up there, tears was coming out of my eyes. And then it would freeze because it was cold up there. And the smell of that manure, 1,200 cows in manure, was off the chart. You could not breathe, you hear me? The electricians installed that technology, and that energy wave got to move it in there and moving that smell. I tell you what, the farmer saw how quickly it dissipated. He said, leave that technology in. What's the price? Let me write you a check right now.
Wow.
So we're excited that the technology works so well to make an energy wave. And now with the solar and the solely, it's really, really off the chart. It's really off the chart. So we're just so happy And so tonight, I am going to take the next few minutes here and tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about a woman that lived on the street, and she saw everybody was getting cancer and having all kinds of health disparities that was associated with toxins in the air. And so people wanted to accuse her because she started knocking on doors and inquiring how people were sick and what kind of diseases that they were having. And they said, you know, she's a troublemaker. She's trying to tell everybody the problem that exists. And so she didn't tell anybody about the problem. She was kind of just doing her due diligence to see what the problem was and then to try to find solutions to the problem. But people were so nervous because nobody really wanted to know, anyone to know there's a problem that existed. So the question becomes really, what do you do when the problem is so big and it affects so many people? And you know you have to do something about it because it's kind of like, you know, a half a dozen of one, a dozen of the other. If you don't do something about the problem, you know it's going to get worse.
Right.
And it's going to be handled. And if you do something about the problem, people are going to get offended because they some problems they don't want you to know exist.
Right.
And she was so diligent because she felt that's what God called her to do. He called her to be steadfast and unmovable and find a solution and help to save people and educate people. And people didn't understand. They tried to call her all kind of names and say all kind of evil things about her. But it's an amazing thing when she chose not to be offended because she knew her quest was love. They said she was guilty of a lot of different things. But she said, I am guilty. You know what? She said, yes, I am guilty. I'm guilty of loving my neighbor enough to lay down my life and to give my life to find a solution to this problem because she was in a very toxic neighborhood, too. And for those of you who haven't caught on to the story yet, I know you said, Tasha ain't talking about herself. Well, of course I'm talking about myself. I'm taking this occasion to celebrate myself and tell the world I'm guilty. I'm guilty of loving, and I'm guilty of being caring, and guilty of being concerned, and I'm so excited that the world is finally rallying around who we are, what we're doing, and the message is getting louder, and everybody's now talking about Healthy Smart Home, even the Trump administration. That's the platform of Ben Carson is standing on. To really push out for people to know their numbers and what they're being exposed to. And the reason why I'm kind of spotlighting myself today is not so the world can say, oh, how wonderful you are, but because tomorrow, in a matter of a few hours, I'm getting ready to be 62 years old.
Ooh.
I will take this moment to say happy birthday to myself. Somebody told me and said, Doctor, we got a big meeting tomorrow. I said, where is it at? Because it's not on my calendar. They said, isn't tomorrow Thursday? I said, no, tomorrow is Wednesday. They said, no, tomorrow's Thursday. You're missing. So they had to call somebody and they said, nope, today's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. And I told them, I said, because it's my birthday. And don't tell me I've been working so hard that I don't work past my birthday. And I'm not backing up today. So I have some people waiting. I'm in Washington, D.C., rendezvousing with nurses that I work with. Woo, 1984 King Fahd Hospital. King Fahd Hospital in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We have not seen each other for 15 years. And I've been hanging out with them for the last couple of days. My agenda, my assignment. We've all gotten older now. Our children are older. We all have grandchildren. And we all just reminiscing about the king and the days in Saudi Arabia. And I tell you, that was the highlight of my life, to be able to be on the opening team for King Fahad Hospital in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and take care of the royal family. The hospital had, in the nursing lounge, we had a mural made with real rubies and desert diamonds and real emeralds and real sapphires, and the hospital was trimmed in 24-karat gold.
Good.
Patients here, they didn't wear the polyester cotton blend gowns. They wore satin gowns. And every room in the hospital opens to a courtyard.
Wow.
The Arabs have a different way about health care. When you come to the hospital, you stay in that hospital until you can get well enough to walk around and go home. If you're still sick, they don't discharge you to home. They keep you in the hospital over there. Not like here, they keep you a couple hours and then you're home. But the royal family is wonderful to work for. They really celebrate when you bring excellence of skill. And I was just so blessed. When you're talking about it, it's the highlight of our career, because the royal family takes good care of their nurses. They gave us the finest of housing. We're just talking about how our rent was $12,000 a month, but that was back in 1982. We didn't have to pay it. We would have been sick if we did. But they gave us our housing, our rent, and they gave us the finest in bone china and towels that were about an inch thick from Belgium, and these chocolates that were to die for. I mean, I don't know where they got these chocolates. They said it's Belgium somewhere. But they always had plenty of chocolates for the nurses. They were so appreciative of our services. So, you know, this is kind of a not mainstream Dr. A, but I'm just so grateful to see 62 years of living. I'm sharing with someone. My father never got to see me grown. He never got to see any of his grandchildren. And I'm so blessed to have seen my sons grow up as young men, and I want to give a special shout-out to my oldest son, Khalid, who's been my strength, my backbone, who has helped, inspired me to do such great work with this technology. Amazing young man and amazing father, and he just got engaged. To give a shout-out to him and his fiancée, Mary, and all of the love they bring to the world and their beautiful daughter. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Okay. And I'm being beckoned, so I'm going to say goodnight, everyone. And I hope everybody has an amazing day on tomorrow, my birthday. Think about me. Pray for me. And let's go make a good place. Okay. Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.
Mario, you lie. You can say good night.
Yeah, good night, and happy birthday, Dr. Lolly.
Oh, thank you, Mario. Thank you.
Right. 62.
Mario, what's happening in Canada? Give us some news from up there.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm going towards Rod's place tomorrow to pay him a visit and talk about your technology in this area of Rod Groom's stamping ground, you know. Yeah, Rod is actually improving quite a bit his health now. You know, yeah. Other than that, really busy.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, what do you think about using the technology for plant growth?
I haven't got too much experiment. I haven't made too much experiment. I wouldn't be able to say anything about it. Though my expertise is mainly around people. And I really find that it gives results, you know, on people's behavior, on people's well-being. But as for plants, I have not... You know, I'm a good gardener and I like all this, but I'm not a type of person patient enough to do a case study on plants. Eh? You know, when I plant A, plant B, grow so much, you know, because it's not my type, eh? But I would believe, though, that it just like human beings, they live out of frequency, and whenever the frequency are at its best, of course, they will be at their best also.
That's right.
Because even, the plants are also affected by this web of electromagnetic frequencies hassling them 24/7, you know, just like us.
Yeah. 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 You're a living creature. Yeah.
So again, very happy birthday. It's always special, and I start to see it's also a special day for the mother that actually gave birth to you. You know, a lot of people forget about it. You know, we wish happy birthday to every person, but it was a really happy day normally to the mother that actually gave birth to the person that.
Yeah.
His or her. Are you celebrating her birthday, eh?
Yeah.
The parents, as a matter of fact. Dr. Ali is still there? I think she's gone, eh?
Oh, she's still there. She might be talking to somebody, but she's still there.
All right. Okay. Okay. So anyway, I just don't. I just said what. I had in my mind, and I had to save for the moment.
Right. I like that, though. I never thought about it like that. Yeah.
What about you like that?
You know, you know, it's your birthday, but that was a great day for the woman that gave birth to you, and the father too. You know.
Actually, it's a special day for everybody. You take a big family there, and someone. You know, you got a 9-kid family, and a lot of them, the older one, remembers the day when this one came to join them, right?
Right.
So it's a celebration for the person that was born on that day, and it's also a somewhat of a celebration for everybody that was around that person.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We take it for granted sometimes.
Yeah, we take it for granted. Yeah.
Okay then. We gotta say good night.
Take care. Yeah. Have a good week, all of you. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
At same time, same place. Good night,
right.
Everybody.
Take care. Bye bye.